Hi, and welcome to the Magazine Rack on Chris. I'm Emily. Today, I'll continue reading from the November 2024 edition of Prevention Magazine. Our first article is from the In Focus section, titled, Diabetes. More than 1.2 million Americans are diagnosed with a form of diabetes each year, and the numbers keep rising, making it one of the country's biggest health crises. But new treatments are rapidly changing what we know about the condition and how people are living with it. Whether you are pre-diabetic, have diabetes, or are caring for someone with the disease, here's what you need to know right now. Your Diabetes Questions Answered by Jihan Myers. Diabetes is one of the most common chronic illnesses in the country, with nearly 15% of adults dealing with some form of the disease. While there are different types of diabetes, all involve an excess of glucose, aka sugar, in the blood. Here are the basics. When you eat and drink, your body breaks down the substances you're consuming into glucose, which then enters your bloodstream. This triggers your pancreas to release the hormone insulin, which gets to work moving glucose out of the blood and into your cells so your body can convert it into energy. Any extra glucose that your body doesn't currently need for energy gets stored in your liver and muscles for later use. But when issues with insulin function disrupt this process, leading to excess amounts of sugar in the blood, over time this can result in type 2 diabetes. Here's what you need to know. What are the most common types of diabetes? While there are many different kinds, including gestational diabetes, which occurs during pregnancy, and several rare types influenced by genetics, the most common kinds by far are type 1 and type 2. Type 1 diabetes. Type 1 diabetes is an autoimmune disease in which the body mistakenly attacks healthy insulin-producing cells in the pancreas, explains Carmela Evans Molina, MD, PhD, Director of Indiana University's Center for Diabetes and Metabolic Diseases. People with type 1 diabetes make up about 5 to 10% of all cases of the disease, and while there is a slight genetic component, many people who are diagnosed with it have no family history of it. Type 1 diabetes is often thought as something that kids get. It used to be called juvenile diabetes, but adults can develop it too. In fact, 50% of all new cases of type 1 diabetes are thought to be in adults. Doctors generally have an easier time diagnosing type 1 diabetes in kids, who present with classic symptoms of excess thirst, excessive urination, and weight loss. Children often have a really aggressive course of type 1 diabetes and develop it quickly, says Dr. Evans Molina. In adults, however, the effects of the autoimmune response can manifest more slowly. This is part of why many adults with type 1 are misdiagnosed and treated with drugs meant for type 2 diabetes, Dr. Evans Molina says. The treatments for type 2 are different. It can take a number of years for a clinician to make the correct diagnosis. Type 2 diabetes. Type 2 encompasses up to 95% of diabetes cases and occurs when the pancreas doesn't produce enough insulin to deal with the glucose in the blood or the cells no longer respond well to the insulin the pancreas cranks out. That's insulin resistance. That means too much sugar remains in the bloodstream, which can lead to problems throughout the body, including nerve damage and kidney disease. Genetics play a role in type 2 diabetes. But there are several modifiable risk factors, including weight, diet, and lifestyle. Not getting enough exercise can increase your risk. Why am I hearing so much about diabetes now? Type 2 diabetes is the fastest growing chronic disease in the world, according to the American Diabetes Association, affecting children and teens in epidemic numbers. Researchers predict that by 2060, as many as 220,000 people under the age of 20 will have type 2 diabetes. That's a 700% increase from today. Diabetes is a lifelong diagnosis, though it is possible to go into remission, so the number of adults with the condition is set to explode. Then there's the Ozempic factor. No doubt you've heard about it as a weight loss wonder drug, but it was designed for diabetes. GLP-1, which stands for glucagon-like peptide 1, medications including Ozempic and Trulicity have been groundbreaking in treating type 2 diabetes. One study compared four classes of diabetes meds for people at moderate risk of cardiovascular disease, which is associated with diabetes, and found that GLP-1s outperformed all others, not only controlling blood sugar levels, but also reducing the risk of heart-related events, including death. These drugs help the pancreas release more insulin when needed and limit the release of stored sugar. I'm pre-diabetic. What does that mean? In short, you're at a greater risk of developing the full-blown disease. Prediabetes essentially means that your hemoglobin A1C, a measure of your 3-month glucose values, is no longer in the normal range, says Dr. Evans Molina. An A1C below 5.7% is normal. Between 5.7% and 6.4% is prediabetic. Think of this as a major wake-up call, because you can turn things around. For people with prediabetes, the development of diabetes can often be delayed or prevented through lifestyle changes, weight loss, and/or increased activity, says Kevin A. Peterson, MD, Vice President of Primary Care and Quality at the American Diabetes Association. Treat your diagnosis as a chance to be more informed about your health and choices. Even small changes can really help. Studies show that very modest weight loss can have a dramatic effect on our risk of developing type 2 diabetes over time, says Dr. Evans Molina. One study found that losing just 11 pounds could reduce the risk of diabetes by 55% over the course of 3 years in people with impaired glucose tolerance that puts them at high risk. What are the symptoms of diabetes? In many cases, there are no symptoms, especially if blood glucose levels are only moderately elevated. In fact, it's estimated that 1 in 5 people with type 2 diabetes is not aware that they have it, even though undiagnosed diabetes can severely impact quality of life and eventually shorten lifespan. But people whose blood glucose is very high may experience increased thirst, increased hunger, frequent urination, unusual rashes or fungal infections, fatigue, blurred vision, frequent urinary tract infections. Is it possible to reverse diabetes? When it comes to type 1 diabetes, unfortunately, there's currently no way to completely prevent or reverse it. Once the immune system has destroyed the insulin-producing cells in the pancreas, there's no getting them back. But with management and support, you can live a full and active life. Type 2 diabetes may be a different story. There are people who have mild type 2 diabetes who are able to lose weight and make lifestyle changes allowing for disease remission, says Dr. Evans Molina. Dr. Peterson points out that while the underlying genetic and physiologic conditions that cause diabetes are not reversible and thus blood sugar can rise again, it is sometimes possible to bring the blood sugar balance enough under control that medication is not required. That said, it is important to make changes as soon as you are diagnosed, as the window of opportunity may close. Why is diabetes so dangerous? When not properly managed, diabetes can lead to serious health complications. Over time, the high blood sugar levels damage the walls of blood vessels all over the body, says Dr. Peterson. The smallest blood vessels in the body are the first to be affected, including the ones in the eyes and kidneys. This is why some of the potential complications include vision problems, damage to small blood vessels in the retina, make diabetes the leading cause of blindness in the U.S. for those ages 20 to 74, kidney failure, and limb loss. Because of damage to the long nerves that extend to the feet, diabetes is also the leading cause of leg and foot amputations. How do I avoid getting it? Talk to your doctor about adopting a healthy lifestyle and having regular testing done. Most people over 40 should be screened every 3 years as part of a routine physical exam, says Dr. Peterson. Getting ahead of a diagnosis may mean you could stop the progression or better manage it and thereby avoid the potential major complications. Moving on to our next article from the InFocus section, titled, How I Thrive with Diabetes. Being diagnosed with diabetes often means major changes to diet and lifestyle. Here's how one woman does it, by Tracy Nauhein, as told to Marissa Cohen. Last year, when I was 49 and had just gotten over my second bout of COVID, my heart sometimes beat really fast, so I went to a cardiologist. When I told him that I was constantly thirsty and had to use the bathroom more times a day than was humanly acceptable, he ran some tests and found that I had developed type 2 diabetes. I was so frustrated with myself because I knew I had a family history of diabetes and had been told by my doctors that I was pre-diabetic. But I quickly made up my mind to take care of myself for two big reasons. One is my family. My kids were grown, but I still needed to be a mom. The second was that I'd worked very hard to build my career at a utility company, and I was missing a lot of work because I was sleeping so much and feeling nauseated. I knew I needed to get my A1C under control and get back to work. Here's what I did. I changed my diet. At first, I was really frustrated with meal planning, but a registered dietitian helped me figure out what works best for me, which was to up my protein and eat fewer carbs. I used to love a Starbucks cold brew with heavy cream, but now I make my own coffee and use sugar-free non-dairy milk. My go-to breakfast is cottage cheese with an egg and pesto. For lunch, I usually have a salad with some protein in it. My husband, Jason, cooks dinner, and he has been so great about looking for keto-friendly recipes. When I travel for work and have to eat out, I always check the menus online first. I love restaurants that have protein bowls or allow you to customize your meal. I learned to handle temptation better. I have a 19-year-old son and a 24-year-old daughter at home, and they still love junk food. The things I miss the most are candy and chips, but I have stevia-based sugar-free candy when I get a craving, and I always have protein chips in the pantry. Otherwise, I would reach for the Doritos. I am on top of my glucose levels. I use an Abbott Freestyle Libre continuous glucose monitor, and I check my numbers 2 hours after I eat to make sure they're between 90 and 100. Since I usually eat 3 meals and 2 snacks a day, that means checking 5 times a day. I found that if my numbers are too high, exercise is the best way to get them back down. I also take GLP-1 medication, and I've lost more than 50 pounds since I was diagnosed last year. I'm vigilant about other health risks. Diabetes can raise your risk for several other conditions. My doctor has encouraged me to stay on top of my eye health, so I've had 3 or 4 eye tests in the past year. My kidney numbers are also a bit high, so I get frequent lab tests. I get up and move. I sit at my desk a lot for work, but I also have days where I am out on the field and get more steps. I've started to use my smartwatch to make sure I get at least 20 minutes of physical activity per day. After dinner, I do some time on the treadmill, stair climber, or exercise bike. I lean on my team. My biggest support is my husband, who helped me get my butt in gear and try to get things under control. He's a great shoulder to cry on when it gets really hard and I feel like giving up. I also found a support group on Facebook. We do a roll call every morning in which everybody plugs in their fasting glucose numbers, and we share meal ideas and give each other advice. I practice gratitude. One of the best things about losing weight and managing my diabetes is that I have much more energy. I can walk all of Disneyland without getting winded, and I can even get on some of the rides I couldn't enjoy in the past because of my size. My goal is to learn to live my best life within the confines of diabetes. Our next article from the InFocus section is titled, The Drugs That Help, by Caitlin Phoenix. While Ozempic has gotten lots of attention, it's just one of the many meds for type 2 diabetes. Diabetes management is extremely personalized, says Dina Adimulam, MD, a specialist in endocrinology and obesity medicine and a member of Prevention's Medical Review Board. When choosing meds, she says, you and your doctor should consider factors such as your age, ability to tolerate injections, risk for hypoglycemia, and other medical issues, as well as each drug's side effects, costs, and potential interactions. No matter which medicine you take, your first line of treatment is making lifestyle changes that will help your blood sugar, such as eating fewer simple carbohydrates and exercising more. Below are the most popular type 2 diabetes medicines, not including insulin, which some people may require. Knowing about the options can help you have a fruitful conversation with your doctor. Metformin. Metformin is one of the oldest, most studied, and most researched diabetes medications we have and has been shown to be very safe, says Dr. Adimulam. How it works. Taken as a tablet or a liquid, metformin helps keep blood glucose levels in check by lowering the amount of glucose released by the liver and making muscles more sensitive to insulin so they use more glucose for energy, thereby taking it out of the bloodstream. Some brand names, Glucophage and Glumetza. GLP-1 and GIP receptor agonist. These medications are known for helping people lose weight in addition to managing blood glucose. Most are taken through self-injection, though one is available as a pill. How they work. GLP-1 and GIP are naturally occurring hormones that lower blood glucose levels. Medicines known as GLP-1 and GIP receptor agonists mimic these hormones in our bodies and, as a result, insulin secretion improves. Some brand names. Rybelsus and Ozempic, GLP-1 receptor agonists, Mounjaro and Zepbound, dual GLP-1/GIP receptor agonists. DPP-4 inhibitors. These are some of the few oral diabetes medications we can use in people with chronic kidney disease, says Dr. Adimulam. How they work. The GLP-1 and GIP hormones are broken down quickly by an enzyme called DPP-4. Drugs in this category block DPP-4, giving the hormones extra time to stimulate insulin release and lower blood glucose. Some brand names, Genovia and Tradjenta. SGLT2 inhibitors. These oral medications can help with minor weight loss, lower blood pressure, and prevent kidney disease and cardiovascular disease, Dr. Adimulam says. How they work. This group of medicines block the SGLT2 receptor in the kidney. This receptor helps the body reabsorb glucose, so when it is blocked, excess glucose is excreted in the urine instead. Some brand names. Jardiance and Barixca. Sulfonylureas. Diabetes tablets in this tried-and-true category have been around since 1942. How they work. Sulfonylureas stimulate beta cells in the pancreas to release more insulin, lowering blood sugar. Some brand names. Amaryl and Glucotrol. TZDs, short for thiazolidinones. TZDs also lower blood glucose. How they work. TZDs reduce the amount of glucose produced by the liver and improve insulin sensitivity in muscles and fat. Some brand names. Avandia and Actos. Our next article from the InFocus section is titled, 5 Best Glucose Meters, by Emily Goldman. Whether you are pre-diabetic or have type 2 or type 1 diabetes, maintaining a steady blood glucose level is key to feeling your best. That's why it's crucial to choose a glucose monitor that gives accurate results. Here's what you need to consider. Total cost. Even if a monitor seems reasonable, the test strips can get expensive. So call your insurance company to see which meters and corresponding test strips are covered under your plan and figure out the out-of-pocket costs if the one you want is not covered. Special features. Some monitors come with Bluetooth compatibility, lights, and a smartphone app to let you see data more easily. But if you're not tech savvy, it's easy to get lost with all the different functionalities. A simple glucometer that checks finger sticks and records values might be the best option, says Dina Adamulam, MD, an endocrinologist and obesity specialist. If you have vision issues, look for a glucometer that has a large screen and is easily readable with a big, bright display and backlight, suggests Brian Furtick, MD, president of Diabetes and Osteoporosis Center in Piscataway, New Jersey. Easy access to data. A single blood sugar number may guide an in-the-moment decision on what to eat or when to exercise. But looking at your levels over time can help uncover patterns to aid you in better management. Pick a monitor with a data retrieval method you can manage so you can share with your healthcare provider. Bluetooth may make getting this info easier. Less tech-forward options often log your numbers for upload to a computer. Here are some great choices according to the endocrinologist we spoke with. Contour Next One. This monitor has everything you could want. A light in the area where you insert the test strip. Great for middle-of-the-night use. Bluetooth capability. A light-up screen for easier viewing. And arrows that indicate whether you're within your target range. You can purchase the meter for $21, and the strips are $24 for $35. Freestyle Light. This compact meter is great for on-the-go blood sugar checks. Not only is it tiny, but it also uses a small blood sample, making testing a bit less bloody. Results come in only 5 seconds. You can purchase the meter for $23, and the test strips are $103 for $50. Rely on Premier Classic, and that's spelled R-E-L-I, capital O-N. Dr. Furtig recommends this basic option for people looking for an inexpensive meter. He notes that the strips for it are inexpensive too, which can make a big difference in total cost. You can purchase this meter for $9, and the strips are $9 for $50. Dario. This truly futuristic glucometer features plugins that turn a smartphone into a glucose monitor with no batteries or coding needed. You can purchase this meter for $35, and the test strips are $30 for $50. Contour Next EZ. A great option for senior patients or anyone looking for a no-frills glucometer. It features alarm reminders and a large text that is easy to read. You can purchase the meter for $20, and the strips are $27 for $70. Let's move on to the final article from the In Focus section, titled, Best Snacks for People with Diabetes, by Alyssa Jung and Stephanie Sesos. Worried that you won't be able to get your snack on while managing diabetes? Well, settle in for a tasty bite, because you can snack happily without sending your blood sugar levels skyrocketing. In fact, a nutritious snack can help not only stabilize your blood sugar, but also lift your mood and give you extra energy to get through the day. The key is to choose nourishments containing protein and fiber, which will aid in keeping your blood glucose level steady. Here are 7 great snacks. Yogurt. This great diabetes-friendly choice is high in protein. Greek yogurt has more protein than regular kind. Pick the plain variety to avoid extra sugar, and top it with naturally sweet berries. Berries are one of the highest fiber fruits, with raspberries taking the lead at 8 grams per cup, about 30% of your daily needs, says dietitian and diabetes educator Caroline Thomaston, RD. Chickpeas. Roasting these tasty beans in the oven with flavorful spices such as cumin and paprika can transform them into a crunchy, satisfying snack. Garbanzos are packed with fiber and protein and can be added to salads or eat as a side, says certified diabetes educator Jasadi Devji, RD. Nuts. A handful of almonds, walnuts, or pistachios offers healthy fats and antioxidants that may help lower cholesterol and reduce the risk of heart issues often associated with type 2 diabetes. One study found that people with type 2 diabetes who regularly consume nuts had a lower incidence of heart disease. Popcorn. This snack is a good source of blood sugar stabilizing fiber. Skip the movie theater version dripping with butter and opt for air-popped or lightly oil-popped varieties. Pre-portion packs are a good idea, or buy a big bag and portion it out for yourself. Fruit and nut butter. Fruit slices with peanut or almond butter deliver a balance of fiber and protein and are fail-safe kid pleasers too. Plus, the healthy fats stick to the ribs. Cottage cheese. Spread on whole grain crackers or toast and top with sliced cucumber or tomato, this creamy high-protein food will prevent blood sugar levels from spiking too high. Guacamole. Yes, really. But skip the chips and instead pair it with veggie sticks and/or whole grain crackers or whole wheat pita triangles. Avocados are loaded with healthy fats for satiety. That's it for this installment of the Magazine Rack. I've been reading from the November 2024 edition of Prevention Magazine. I'm Emily. So long until next time.